Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We are holding on daf Kuf Tes Zayin and Beis right after the Mishnah. The first topic we're going to discuss today is a machlokas at the end of daf Kuf Tes Zayin, whether a person is allowed to fully skin a Korban Pesach when Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos. And we're going to suggest four possibilities of how that machlokas, how the Chachamim in that machlokas try to prove their point from our Mishnah about saving the Tik HaSvarim together with the Svarim. Then we're going to move on to machlokas Tanaim about which type of mavoi a person is allowed to save things into, whether a closed mavoi or even an open mavoi. And the Gemara is going to quote three shitos on how to define what's considered closed and what's considered open when it comes to a mavoi. The Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss saving food from a burning house, and we're going to have a machlokas why there's any limit on the amount of food you're allowed to save when you're bringing the food into a chatzar that has an eruv. Then the Gemara is going to discuss two cases where there's a machlokas whether you can do a harama, a trick to avoid an issur, and discuss whether those cases relate to each other, and that itself leads to a discussion about saving foods from other situations and for different days. And the daf concludes with a bunch of comments about the Shabbos meals, about Shalosh Shudas, about Lechem Mishnah. So chock full of information and important topics. This daf is a very critical daf. Let's begin again right after the Mishnah on daf Kuf Tezayin and Beis. So the Mishnah had said that you're allowed to save a tikka sefer ima sefer, the tikka tefillin with the tefillin, you're allowed to save the container, the covering for the sefer with the sefer, the covering for the tefillin with the tefillin. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa that seems completely unrelated, but we have some sort of tradition that apparently it is related, because we're going to use our Mishnah as a raya in the machlokas in this brisa. So says the brisa, Arba also shchal yos b'Shabbos. If erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, mafshitin es haPesach adachaz ediv Rabbi Shlomo Menoshe Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rabbi Shlomo Menoshe Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says you're allowed to skin the Korban Pesach up until the chest of the animal, and that's it. No more. You're not allowed to skin it entirely. Only up until the chest. V'cham mamrim mafshitin es kulo. And the Chum say, no, you're allowed to skin the entire animal on Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. So bish, lamal Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, dos avad leitzaruch gavoa. I understand very well, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, you're allowed to skin up until the chest, because that's what you need to do leitzaruch gavoa. That's what you need to do for the korban, in order to be able to access all the inner parts of the korban that are going to need to be burnt. You need to skin the animal partially, but what, there's no need to skin it entirely for the sake of the korban. So the Rabbanan, my taima, why do the Rabbanan think that you're allowed to skin the animal entirely if the korban doesn't demand that you skin the animal entirely? So answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Brachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Da Amar Kra, because the pasuk says Kol Pa'al Hashem L'manehu. Pasuk in Mishlei, Kol Pa'al Hashem L'manehu. And we learn from that pasuk that you're always supposed to do things when you're doing a mitzvah in the most respectful and dignified way possible. So if you're going to be mafshit a korban only halfway, that is an extremely undignified way to treat kadshei shemayim. So frak the Gemara, v'achem mai l'manehu ikha, what is so undignified about it? What makes it so wrong? So Rav Yosef Amar Shelo Yasriach, because when you leave skin half on the animal, half off the animal, it's going to start to smell and rot, and it's going to be disgusting for kachay shemayim. Rava Amar Shloyu kachay shemayim mutalim kinevela. Rava says, no, it just looks like you're leaving kachay shemayim hanging there like a nevela. You don't want to leave kachay shemayim looking like it's a common nevela that's being discarded. So that's why you need to skin the entire animal. It's all because of the proper covet you're supposed to show for kachay shemayim. Whether the issue is that you're concerned it's going to rot, or the issue is just the appearance that it looks like it's a nevela, one nafkamina is if you put it on a golden table, meaning if you put it on a golden table, you don't put a nevela on a golden table. So you still may be concerned that it's going to spoil, but it doesn't look like you're just leaving it a nevela. You put it in a very coveted place, you put it in a very respectful place to show that you're not just casting it aside. So that would be one nafkamina. Inami yoma de istina. Or another nafkamina is on a day that the northern wind is blowing, where it's going to be able to keep the meat fresh. It's still munach, there's a nafkamina in the other direction. It's still munach kenevela, it's still sitting there looking like a nevela as if you're discarding it, but at the same time, it's not going to spoil, it's not going to rot, because it has just the right temperature outside and just the right breeze outside to keep the meat fresh. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Hai Paul Hashem Maneu, my Avodai. If Rabbi Shmuel, if the source of the Chachamim allowing you to be mafshit, the entire animal, is based on Paul Hashem Maneu, that you're supposed to be show kavod and treat Kachi Shemayim in a dignified way, well then Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan Broka thinks that you're only allowed to skin the animal up until its chest. You're not allowed to skin the animal entirely. What does he do with that pasuk of Kol Paul Hashem L'maneu? Shouldn't he also say that you should be able to skin the animal entirely? So he says, he uses that pasuk to teach me that you should not remove the emurin before you skin the animal. My taima, why not? Because we're afraid if you reach in to try to pull out the emurin before you really skin the animal, so little hairs are going to get stuck on the emurin, and that's going to be disrespectful for Kachi Shemayim. Little pieces of wool are going to attach themselves to the emurin. Amr of Chista, Amr Marukva. So before Amr of Chista, what do we have over here? We have a basic machlokes tanayim. When Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, how much of the animal are you allowed to skin? Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan Broka says, not all of it, just as much as you need, and the Chum say you're allowed to skin all of it. Now the Gemara is going to say, the Gemara is going to point out one suggestion that the Chacham had to try to prove their point, that it's got to be that you're allowed to skin the entire animal, and that's going to be from our Mishnah. But we're going to have four possibilities of what in the world they're talking about, because it's hard to understand how our Mishnah proves the point of the Rabbanan. How is saving a tik ha-sefer, im ha-sefer, saving the covering of a sefer together with the sefer, how does that help prove that you're allowed to skin an entire animal when for your Korban Pesach, whenever Pesach falls on Shabbos? So the Gemara is going to have four possibilities of exactly what the Raya is. But apparently there's some sort of tradition that the Rabbanan used our Mishnah as a Raya. Some Rav Chista Marukva, Maya Hajle Chaviraya, the Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan Broka. What did the Chachamim respond to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan Broka to prove that they're correct? So this is what they said to him. If you're allowed to save the covering of a sefer together with the sefer, what, can you not skin a carbon Pesach entirely? So again, what in the world does one have to do with the other? So says Gemara, me dummy, how can you compare the two cases? Hasam tiltul hacha malacha. Saving the tik ha-sefer im ha-sefer is a question of tiltul. It's a question of mukta. It's a question of moving something that otherwise isn't necessary. But over here we're talking about a malacha of hafshata, a malacha of skinning an animal. Now apparently, what do you mean tiltul? What's the issue of tiltul? Where's the mukta by the tik ha-sefer im ha-sefer? The tik ha-sefer is not mukta either. So apparently there's also an additional part of this tradition that the Gemara is assuming that you have to add in, that Rashi points out, Hasam, if you look in Rashi in the first white line, Tik Uma'os, the Kamaisi Raya Minei, Tiltul Bialmahu. We're bringing a Raya from not just saving a Tik HaSefer Ma Sefer, but we have a tradition that our Mishnah must mean not just that you're allowed to save the covering of a Sefer, but even if that covering of the Sefer has money in it, you're allowed to move it. You're allowed to save that together with the Sefer, even though there's money. Money is Muksa. So apparently, you were allowing Tiltul Muksa on some level in our Mishnah, but still, how does that help you to explain the skinning of an animal? The skinning of the animal is an issue of a real malacha. So I'm Rav Ashi Betarti Pligi. Rav Ashi says they're arguing about two things. Pligi betiltel, u pligi b'malacha. They argue, meaning when it comes to the Korban Pesach, as Rashi explains, betarti pligi, gabe pesach pligi betiltulo, da'as Rabbi Yishmael letaltala pesach ha'chashotzi emurav, afilu mecham lotzel mishum or, delav bar tiltelhu, that Rabbi Yishmael will say, not only are you not allowed to skin the entire animal, once you've gotten what you need from the animal, for right now, once you've removed the emurim from the animal, you're not even allowed to be metaltel the Korban Pesach. The rest of the Korban Pesach is muktza. Okay, so then Rashi fills in some, but the Chacham say that it's not muktza, you're allowed to move it as well. So we're not bringing a raya. The Chacham are not bringing a raya against Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, that you're allowed to skin the animal from our Mishnah. They're bringing a raya about their other machlokes. What's their other machlokes? Are you allowed to be metaltel the animal after you've already gotten what you need from it? So now we're getting a little closer. We're still not there yet, but we're getting a little closer. Now we see that they're arguing about muktzah, And we have a tradition that in our Mishnah there's something to do with money being carried also, so it's an argument about Muktzah. So the Chachamim are saying, if we allow the movement of Muktzah in our Mishnah, we should allow the movement of Muktzah when it comes to this animal. So we're close, but we're not there yet. What exactly is the parallel? So says the Gemara, V'hachi ka'amrile, this is what they are saying to him. Im matzilin tika sefer, im a sefer lo nitaltel or agav basar. If you're allowed to move the tika sefer, the covering for the sefer that has money in it, together with the sefer, should you not be allowed to move the or agav the basar? Meaning, should you not be allowed to move the hide of the animal, which is muktzah, agav the basar, which is apparently not muktzah? Says the Gemara, mi dami. How can you compare those two cases? Meaning, that's not a good raya at all. Hasam nasa basis ledavra mutter. Hacha nasa basis ledavra aser. By the tikka sefer, granted the money is muktzah, but the sefer is completely not muktzah. So it's a basis ledavra mutter. Without any fire, you're allowed to save a sefer. You're allowed to move a sefer. A sefer is not a problem of muktzah in general. You just have the money in it as well. That happens to be muktzah. But over here by the or itself is a basis that's entirely aser betiltul, because the basar that it's protecting is also aser betiltul. That's why Rashi understands. The basar itself is muktzah. Why is meat muktzah? Raw meat is muktzah on Shabbos, because it's Shabbos. What are you going to do with raw meat on Shabbos? You can't cook it, so it's muktzah. So the entire item is muktzah. That's how Rashi understands. If you look at Tosos on the top, Tosos, Pirush Mekuntra Shabbosar Asa L'Taltel Sharei Eino Roi La'Achila Adalayla, Rashi says that the basar is muktzah because you're not going to be able to eat it until nighttime. But Tosos disagrees. Veinu Nira Dim Kein Hechi Kamelo Nataltel Or Agav Basar, given the basar. So he says, if that's the case, then what was the Havamina when we first presented the argument that you should be allowed to move the or agav the basar? You should be allowed to move the hide because you're moving the basar. What do you mean? If the basar is muktzah, what kind of argument is that you should be allowed to move the hide agav the basar? So v'nira de l'kuli alma basar mutin l'taltel. Avl gav demand de shari basar tafel b'alma l'taltel hainim shum d'chazi l'klavim v'achol lo chazi l'klavim. Says Tosas, I think that the meat is not muktzah. Even though, generally speaking, those who think raw meat is not muktzah only say so because you could feed raw meat to dogs, and this raw meat you can't feed to dogs because this raw meat happens to be a carbon, so you're not allowed to be mevazakachim that way, and be mevazakachim shemayim that way. Again, that concept comes up again here in Tosos. We just saw it on the bottom of the base, being mevazakachim shemayim. You're not allowed to feed it to dogs, so the meat, he says, still is not going to be muktzah, even though the reason that it's not muktzah doesn't apply to a carbon, but nevertheless, the meat is not muktzah according to Tosos. Tiltal or agav basru de pligi. And the issue is a question of whether you're allowed to be metalta the hide of the animal. The meat of the animal for sure is not muktzah. Aye, so what are we talking about when we say it's a basl davra aser? He says, Hainu kodim shenishchata hayu basl davra aser. He says, before the animal was shechted, the hide was a basl davra aser. Because the entire living animal is a davra aser, is a dvar muktza. Living animals are a dvar muktza. Once an animal is shechted, dead meat of the animal, that's considered not to be muktza, Tosa says. Only the live animal is considered to be muktza. But either way, that first suggestion of what the raya of the chum was, that if you're allowed to be metaltal, the tikka sefer and masefer, you should for sure be allowed to be metaltal the or ag of the basar, that doesn't seem to really work at all, because the or ag of the basar is a basis ledavar ha'asr, the tikka sefer with the sefer is a basis ledavar ha'mutr. So says Gemara, second possibility of what the chachamim argued. Ela hachi kamrile, im matzilin tikshal sefer masefer va'af al pishiesh betocha ma'os, lo netaltal or ag of basar? You want to tell me the tikka sefer is only basis ledavar mutter? It's not. You got money in there also, so it's a basis ledavar mutter uledavar aser. You have a davar aser in there also, so doesn't that make it a basis ledavar aser since you have money in there? So it should be the same thing as carrying the hide of the animal, of moving the hide of the animal, even though it's a basis ledavar aser. So says Mar Midami, Hasam Nasa basis ledavar aser uledavar mutter. Hachakulu nasa baslavar aser. That still doesn't help you. Meaning, again, it gets you a little closer, but it still doesn't help you. Because in the case of moving the tikka sefer im ha-sefer, yes, it's a basis ledavar ha-aser in that there's money in there, but it's also basis ledavar ha-mutter, because there's a sefer in there. So it's a basis for both the davar ha-aser and the davar ha-mutter. By moving the hide of the animal, again, sticking with Rashi, assuming the meat is a davar ha-aser, it's purely a basis ledavar ha-aser. It's not a basis ledavar ha-aser uledavar ha-mutter. So that won't be a proper parallel either, and that therefore should not be a good proof for the Chachamim. Rather, here's the third version of what the Chachamim are trying to say in proving their point. In Mevi'in Tik Sheyesh B'tocha Ma'os, Mei Alma Lahatzil Bo Sefer Torah, Lo Netaltel Orag of Basar, that the Chachamim understood in our Mishnah that not only are you allowed to take a Sefer that's in a Tik, that's in its covering, even though there's money in the covering as well, but let's say there's a Sefer that doesn't have a covering. You're allowed to take a covering that has money in it, go bring it to the Sefer, and then use that to protect the Sefer and to save the Sefer. Well, before you get to the Sefer, when you're taking the tick that has money in it, what are you taking? You're taking something that's purely a basis ledavar ha'asr. There's no Sefer in there. There's no davar mutter in there. All it is a basis ledavar asr. All it is a bag with money in it. So if you're allowed to do that, then for sure you should be allowed to move the skin, agav, the basar. Says the Gemara, v'higufa minalun. Who says you're allowed to do that? Who says you're allowed to go take a bag that has money in it and bring that bag to a sefer just to save the sefer? If you want to say, well, when it has money in it, we don't make you throw the money out, so therefore you should be allowed, meaning when it has money and the sefer in it, we don't make you throw the money out of the bag, so therefore you should be allowed to bring the bag with money lechatchila. No, mi dami, hasam adachi vachi, naflad dleika. The reason why you're allowed to take the sefer out with the tick, with the sefer, with the money, all together out, and you don't have to first stop to empty the money out of the bag, is because you can't stop to do anything when there's a fire raging. If you stop to start emptying the money out of the bag, the whole house is going to burn down. You'll have ruined everything. So it's going to be too late. But stam to take over here, you have plenty of time. You could, while you're carrying the bag with the money in it to the fire, as you're walking or as you're running, you could shake out the money. So you do have time, because you have the time it takes you to bring the bag toward the fire, toward the sefer. So that can't be the raya that the Chachamim bring against Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Riachum and Broka. Ella, here's the fourth possibility and final possibility. Ella Amar Mar Baravashi Lolam Kedamrin Meikara. Really, we have to go back to our initial understanding of the raya. Meaning, what was the initial understanding? We said that if you're allowed to save a tikka sefer in a sefer, that you're allowed to save the covering of a sefer together with the sefer, then for sure you should be allowed to skin a carbon pesach. And we said, wait a second, you should be allowed to skin a carbon pesach? Skinning is a malacha. Moving a tik ha-sefer, we're dealing with a muktze issue, not a malacha issue. So all three suggestions we had tried to take the machlokas about skinning and say, no, it wasn't only a machlokas about skinning, it's also a machlokas about muktze. And therefore, he was trying to bring a raya within the world of muktze. Says Gemara, no, go back to the original understanding. The machlokas about skinning is a malacha. It's about skinning. It's not about muktze. So what he was saying was as follows. How could you bring a raya from a case of muktza to a case of malacha? Now the case is, you don't need the or, and since you don't need the hide of the animal, it's not a malacha. So says Gemara, what do you mean? You don't need the hide of the animal. It may be that you're not having kavana for the or, but it is a psik reshe that when you remove the or is being removed, you're skinning an animal. So isn't Rabbi Shimon Moda the psik reshe v'lo yamos that it's still going to be aser? And says Gemara, the shakale bebarzi. No, you remove it in thin strips of skin from the animal instead of skinning it whole the way you would normally skin by trying to keep the skin intact. You cut off thin strips of skin, Rashi points out, and that's ein derech havshata b'kach. That is an unusual way to skin, and therefore it's not a malacha, it's only a shvus, it's only a drabanon, it's not a malacha. This is a very difficult couple of lines of Gemara to understand. The Gemara says that because you don't need the or, so they said so the Gemara's first question is, that's still a psik reshe? What do you mean? If you don't need the or, forget about psik reshe. When you don't need the or, it's we have another word for that, meaning when you do a malacha of Shabbos for a completely different purpose than the malacha was done in the Mishkan. Let's say you dig a hole and you don't want the hole, you want the dirt, and it's tzarech al afara, so that's called a malacha shein tzricha legufa. That has nothing to do with davar shein miskaven, it has nothing to do with psik reshe. That's what we call a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Over here, you're skinning an animal. So you're skinning an animal, so you don't want the skin, but you're skinning an animal. Isn't that the very definition of malacha shein tzricha legufa? One of the rules that have to do with davar shein miskaven. Davar shein miskaven means I don't know that the malacha is going to happen. I'm slicing it away, and I don't know that the skin's actually going to come off. It may yes come off, may not come off, and I'm not trying to get it off. That's not what my goal is. I'm just practicing my slicing motion, but I'm not trying to get the skin off. Over here, you're trying to get the skin off. You have a different reason to want the skin off, but you are trying to get the skin off, and you know that it's going to come off. So doesn't that make it a malach shein tzricha legufa? So that's the kasha Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks over here. And the Meiri writes, yeah, that's exactly correct. So malach shein tzricha legufa, that knocks it down to a drabanan. Once we knock it down to a drabanan, and we say that you're cutting off piece by piece and small pieces, that's together with the fact that you don't want the or, makes it mutter. That somehow when you knock it down to a drabanan by making a malach shein tzricha legufa, and then the Gemara adds the point that you're cutting off b'shakalei b'barzi, you're cutting off small pieces, that together those two factors are going to make a mutter. Now Rashi understood shakalei b'barzi means that it's ein derech havshata b'kach, you're doing it in an unusual way, and that's what makes it mutter. Tosos writes in Dibur Maskul shakalei b'barzi, v'nir l'ri d'leka afilu shvos, de'eno mafshit kishir chashivus or yachad. He says this is not even a nisad rabbanan. Normally when you do something shalok ederech, you do a malach in an unusual way, it knocks it down to a nisad rabbanan. Over here it's not even that, Tosa says, not even a nisad rabbanan, because you're taking such small amounts of or off at a time that it's pachos mikashir, and therefore it's completely mutter. Now the question is, who says pachos mikshir makes something completely mutter? That's quite a chiddush that Tosfos is suggesting, that it makes it completely mutter just because it's pachos mikshir. If you recall, on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, we have an expression, v'chi mutter lefos pachos mikshir. What, are you allowed to bake pachos mikshir? Are you allowed to do malachos d'oraisa on Shabbos pachos mikshir? Chata and Rashi over there said, ha-chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah, that even on a malach of Shabbos, we still hold that chatzi shir is asur min ha-Torah. So the l'chora, there's Rashi the Shitas over here, that you can't just say that it's pachos mikshir and that's what makes it okay, because chatzi shir would still be asur min ha-Torah. So Rashi has to emphasize, ein derech havshata b'kach. What's Tosfos going to respond? Whatever happened to chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah, why does it become mutter just because it's a chatzi shir? So the Yad David explains that the concept of chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah is only true when you're dealing with something that's still an Isra D'Oraisa. But over here we're dealing with Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa in the first place. So we're dealing with something that's only an Isra D'Rabbanan to begin with. When it comes to violating Yisrim D'Rabbanan, so Chatzi Shir is not even Asur Min HaTorah. There is no Isra of Chatzi Shir. The whole difference between a Chatzi Shir and a full Shir is the difference in Onesh. Right? That when you have a full Shir, it's you chayv an Onesh. For a full Shir, Pachos Mikshir, you're not chayv an Onesh. So typically, we're not going to be Mechalik when we're dealing with the Drabbanans, by Drabbanans there's no onesh anyway. So typically we're not going to be mechalik by Drabbanans between a full shear and less than a full shear. For instance, on Tisha B'Av, on Yom Kippur, the halach is that if a person can't fast, so the first thing we suggest that he does is shiurim, that you take pachos mikashir. Why? Because if you have a full shear, you're chayiv kares for eating full shear in Yom Kippur. Pachos mikashir is chatzi shear, you're not going to be chayiv. So there's a difference in chatzi shear. But on Tisha B'Av, where there are many poskim hold that where there's where the whole thing is only drabanan, so there's nisrach, it doesn't make a difference to this pachs, whether it's chati shir or full shir. There's no onesh for a full shir, just like there's no onesh for a chati shir, so it won't matter between chati shir and full shir. So similarly, but sort of like the opposite, the Ad David over here says by an isra drabanan, a chati shir is going to be completely mutter, that we're not even going to say chati shir is asur min haTorah, because the whole concept of chati shir is only when it comes to dinim d'oraisa, not by dinim d'rabbanan. Okay, so let's go weiter in the Gemara now. Ulaheichon matzilin asan. So we had it in the Mishnah, we had a machlokas where you're allowed to save this stuff to. The Mishnah and the Machlokas, whether Svarim can only be brought into a closed Mavui or even into an open Mavui. So our Gemara is going to present three Shitos in Amoraim of how we define what's called a closed Mavui and how we define what's called an open Mavui. So says Gemara, Hechidah Mefulash, Hechidah Mishenah Mefulash. What is a Mefulash, what is an Eina Mefulash? What's an open Mavui, what's a closed Mavui? Possibility number one. Amar Rav Chisa, Shalosh Mechitos V'Shnei Lechin, Zeu Mavui She'Eina Mefulash. If you have three walls and two lechis, two poles on the fourth side to start to close it off, that's a mavoi she'inu mefulash. Gimel mechitzos v'lacha ye'echad, but if you have three walls and only one pole on the fourth side, zel mavoi mefulash. That's what we call an open mavoi. Typically in Erevin, we don't refer to an open mavoi that way. An open mavoi typically in Erevin means one that you walk right through from end to end, that it only has two walls. And a closed mavoi is one that has three walls. But in this context, it must mean something else. So if Chista says that both an open and a closed one have three walls, the only difference is how many poles do you have on the fourth side? V'travayu alibid Rabbi Lazar, and they're both working within the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Titnan, hechsher mavoi b'shamirom lechi v'korah. In order to make a mavoi okay to carry in on Shabbos, b'shamay holds you need both a lechi, a pole, and a korah, a beam going across the opening. U'beisil lomrim o lechi o korah. Beisil says, no, you could choose whichever one you want. Either a pole or a beam. Rabbi Lazar omer shnei lechim. Rabbi Lazar says, you need two lechis. So that's what we're assuming. We're assuming, like Rabbi Lazar, that you need two lechis, and that's why if you don't have two lechis, it's called an open mavoi. Amar le Rabba, Gimel mechitzos v'lechi echad mefulash karisalei. He says, I can't believe it. You're going to call a mavoi that has three full walls plus a lechi on the fourth side. You're going to call that an open mavoi? That's almost as closed as it could possibly get. And you're going to call that an open mavoi? Va'ol the rabbanon natzu l'tocha ochlan amashkin. Plus, according to the rabbanon, why are you only allowed to save a sefer into this mavoi? When it came to saving food, what do we say? You're allowed to save food into a chatzer hamur reves. Sounds like, but to a mavoi, you're never allowed to save food. Well, if the mavoi has three walls and two lechis, you're not allowed to save food into such a mavoi. That for sure you should be allowed to save food into. So it can't be. So he rejects Rav Chista's approach. A mavoi mefulish and enim mefulish. The difference is whether it's one lechi or two lechis on the fourth wall. Ella amar Rabba, rather Rabba says a second suggestion. Shtei mechitos v'shnei lechin, zeh mavoi she'enim mefulish. If you have two walls, so two open sides, and on the two open sides you have one pole in each open side, shnei lechin, one lechi on one open side, one lechi on the other open side, that's she'enim mefulish. That's called a closed mavoi. Shtei mechitos v'lechi echad, zeh mavoi mefulish. If you have two walls, and on one of the two open sides you have a lechi, that's a mavoi mefulash. With Ravai, Alibit Rabbi Yehuda, and both shitos are assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Yisrael, Kenam Rabbi Yehuda, Mishi Yishol Shnei Batam, Shnei Tzidi, Rishus Rabim, Osa Lechi Mikan, Velechi Mikan, O Kura Mikan, Vekara Mikan, Venosi Venosi Memsa. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if you have two houses on two sides of Rishus Rabim, which means when you're standing in that Rishus Rabim, you have walls on either side of you, you have walls on two sides, but you don't have walls on the other two sides, what you need to make it mutter to carry in there is a lechi on each of the open sides or a korah on each of the open sides. So both of these shitos are assuming, yes, that's what you need. A lechi on each of the open sides. So if you have that, then you have a closed mavoi. If you have a lechi on only one of the open sides, then you have an open mavoi. So amru lo, ein ma'arvin Rosh Hashanah b'kach. And the Chum said to Rabbi Yehuda, no, we don't think you could make a Rosh Hashanah mutter to carry in by just putting two lechis, by putting a lechi on one side, Alechi on the other side. So Amalei Abayi, so Abayi says to Rabba, really, that's how you're going to understand the difference between a Mavi Mefulish and Einu Mefulish. L'didach Nami, the Rabbanu, not to L'toch Alechi L'mashkin. According to you, then why, according to the Rabbanu, if you have a Lechi on either side, can't you save food into it? You were just matur, it should be totally fine. You should be allowed to bring food into it, not just a Sefer. Ella Amar Ravashi, so Ravashi suggests the third possibility of what is the difference between Mefulash and Eina Mefulash. Shalosh Mechitzos V'lechi Echad Zem Mavi She'ena Mefulash. If you have three walls and one lechi, that's a Mavi She'ena Mefulash, that's a closed Mavi. Gimel Mechitzos below lechi Zel Mavi Mefulash. If you have three walls and no lechi at all, that's a Mavi Mefulash, that's considered an open Mavi that you're not allowed to bring a Sefer into. Even according to Rabbi Lazar, you need two lechis on that fourth wall. That's only to carry normal things like food into the mavui. You need two lechis to be matir carrying regular things. Aval sefer Torah b'chad lechisagi. But to save the sefer Torah, since it's an item of kedusha, we're going to be a little more makel, and even Rabbi Lazar will allow a single lechi on that fourth side to be able to save the sefer Torah. Good. New Mishnah. Matzilin mazun gimel su'udos haroi la'adam la'adam haroi la'behema la'behema. You're allowed to save three meals worth of food, haray ladam ladam, food for a person and food for a behema. This is a question in the achronim. Haray lebehema, and the rishonim already really. Haray lebehema lebehema. Does that mean you're allowed to save three meals for a behema? Is there a din that a behema needs three meals? A person needs three meals on Shabbos. Sounds like that way from the Mishnah. Gimel sudos haray ladam ladam haray lebehema lebehema. So the Ritva says no. It's gimel sudos haray ladam ladam. And by the way, haray lebehema lebehema, whatever it is that a behema needs, you're allowed to save for a behema. The Shor Mitzvah and Balacha quotes from Achronim that maybe this relates to the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Mem, that asulech alat sheitan lebehemto, a person is not allowed to eat until he gives food to his animal first. Says maybe it is going back on three meals. You need to save three meals worth of food for a behema. Why? Because you're not allowed to eat until you fed your animal. But that's a little bit far fetched. That halacha, you're not allowed to eat until you feed your animal, is if it's feeding time for your animal, is if your animal is hungry. If an animal, let's say, eats once a day, and it's satisfied with having breakfast, and that's it, doesn't need to eat, you don't have to, every time you want to go get a snack in the middle of the day, you have to say, oh wait, I got to give my animal a snack, the animal's ready to throw up, it doesn't want a snack anymore. So that doesn't seem that would be, it seems that the Ritva is much more the Pasha Pshat. That a Rai Levayim Levayim, it doesn't mean three meals worth, it doesn't have to be three meals dafka for a behema. Even though this Shita and Achronim is quoted in the Bir Alecha in Simin Shin Lamed Dalet. Also, the Ksav Sofer in Archaim Simin Lamed Beis has he doesn't bring this Raya, but he writes that on Shabbos and Yontif, that Gemara doesn't apply. You're allowed to eat before your behema on Shabbos and Yontif, because your Achila on Shabbos and Yontif is a mitzvah. So when your Achila is a mitzvah, you can eat before your behema. So maybe that's you have a little bit of a remez to that from our Mishnah. It says you're allowed to be Matzil Mazum Gimel Sudos. First we say Haray Ladam Ladam, then haray lebehema lebehema. That a person can eat first and then feed the behema when it's Shabbos and Yantif. So Ketzad, what does it mean, three meals haray la'adam? Nafot like a b'leil Shabbos, if the fire comes on Friday night and you haven't eaten yet, matzilin mazim gimel sudos. So you could save three meals worth, because you still need three meals to eat on Shabbos. B'shachris, matzilin mazim bey sudos. If the fire comes Shabbos morning, before you've eaten your morning meal, but you've obviously already eaten your nighttime meal, so then you have two meals left to Shabbos, so you're allowed to save two meals. B'mincha, if it's ready the afternoon time, mazon sudachas, you're allowed to save one more meal. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Leol Matzil Mazon Shalosh Sudas. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're always allowed to save three meals, where it doesn't matter which part of Shabbos we're up to. The Aruch HaShulchan brings a raya from this Mishnah. We have discussions about Shalosh Sudas, how a person could fulfill Shalosh Sudas. Let's say it's winter time, very short Shabbos, you had a long lunch and you're stuffed, and you can't imagine eating again after mincha. Is there any way? Why didn't anyone ever come up with the Eitzah that when Shabbos starts at 4:10 or something, that you could have a meal at 5 o'clock, have another meal at 10 o'clock at night, and then have a third meal on Shabbos morning? And that way you'll have Shalosh Sudas, you have three Sudas, or even better, forget about that situation. Erev Pesach Shchalias B'Shabbos. The Achronim go crazy. There is full Svarim, two Svarim at least that I know of, probably more, three that I know of, that are dedicated to the topic of what to do when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, and most of the topic is, how do you deal with Shalosh Sudas when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos? Simple eitza. Have two meals because you can't eat chametz or matzah later in the day when it's Erev Pesach. So why don't we just have two meals Friday night and one meal Shabbos day? So says the Aruch Shulchan, no, the mitzvah of having three meals on Shabbos is time slots. You have to have the one meal in the nighttime slot, one meal in the morning slot, and one meal in the afternoon slot. It's got to be slotted into those time slots. And it's right, it's from our Mishnah. The Mishnah is clearly assuming that that's the way that the Shabbos schedule works. The Rambam spells it out pretty explicitly when he describes how Shabbos works. He describes your schedule of Shabbos, that you daven, and then you eat, and then you sleep, and then you daven, and then you eat, then you sleep, then you eat, then you daven, then you eat. And he describes each slot of Shabbos, that you daven, then you eat, always. So, okay. Weiter in the Gemara, it says Gemara Michti, you're moving food. Why can't you save more than that? Meaning, food isn't muksa. So what's the problem? Just and you're bringing it into a chatzah that has an eruv. So everything is fine. You're allowed to carry. So why can't you go into a burning house and save as much food as you want? Because people are very nervous about their money. So if we allow him to save more, he's going to come to extinguish the fire. When a barrel breaks on the top of your roof, you're allowed to bring another kli to catch the wine that's spilling, as long as you don't bring another an additional kli and yiklot and allow it to flow from the air into the additional kli, or put it right next to the roof and have it and draw it into the kli. So hasa ma'gzeri. What sort of gzera is there? There's no fire, so what are we talking about? Why shouldn't you be allowed to save more? So the Gemara says, no, it's not a gzera, says Abaye, that we're afraid you're going to put out a fire. The reason you're not allowed to save more is that we're afraid you're going to bring additional kalim through Rosh Hashanah to save more food. And that applies by the wine also, that we're afraid you're going to bring kalim through Rosh Hashanah to try to save more food. That's our concern. Gufa. We just said that if a barrel breaks, you can bring a kli to save, but you can't just keep bringing more and more kalim to save the wine. But if you have guests coming in, you're going to need more wine, you're allowed to bring additional kalim to save wine for the guests. But what you can't do is save and then invite guests. If you have guests already invited, then you could save all this wine. You shouldn't do a harama to invite guests just so that you could save the wine. The harama is not allowed. Mishum Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ma'arimin. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, why not? You can invite guests as much as you want, even though you're only inviting them so that you could save the wine. That's perfectly fine. Lema b'pukta, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shua Kamifli. So this machlokas, whether you're allowed to do a harama, has a parallel in a different area of halacha, whether you're allowed to do a harama. Detani, we have a braisa. Osves b'nos shenafel l'bar. What if you have an animal and its offspring that both fell into a bar on Shabbos? So the halacha is you're not allowed to shecht an animal and its offspring on the same day. And on Yantif, you are allowed to shecht an animal, but you're not going to be able to shecht both of these animals. So Reb Lezer Omer Malas Harishon Al Menas Shochtav Hasheni Oselo Parnasu Mimkomo Bishvil Shelo Yamas. Reb Lezer says you're allowed to take one of the animals out to shecht it. The other one you got to leave in there because you can't shecht it because you plan on shechting the other one. So you have to just throw food down into the bar to keep it alive. Rabbi Shua Omer Malas Harishon Al Menas Shochtav. Rabbi Shua says, no, take the first animal out to shecht, and then change your mind and say, you know what, maybe I want to shecht that second one, and then take the second one out, and then decide which one you want to shecht. So says Gemara, don't you see it's a machlokas whether you're allowed to do a harama? To take both of them out is a harama, obviously. It's a trick. So Gemara, maybe the two machlokas don't parallel each other at all. Dilma adkan lo kam Reb Lezer asam de'afshar b'parnasa. Avlach lo'av shalo. Maybe Reb Lezer only doesn't allow a harama over there because you have another option. You can keep the animal alive in the bar by throwing food into the bar. Over here, this wine is going to be lost forever and ever if you don't invite guests. So maybe Reb Lezer will allow the harama of inviting extra guests just to save the wine over here. And maybe Rabbi Yeshua only allows the haram over there because Nebuch, to leave this animal suffering in a bar or the rest of Yantif, is a tzar b'alechayim. But over here there's no tzar b'alechayim on the wine, so maybe it would be no problem. Tan Rabbanan, Hitzel Pasnikia in Matzil Pasadra, Pasadra, Matzil Pasnikia. If you've already saved your highest quality bread from your house, enough of it, you're not allowed to save lesser quality bread, because obviously you're going to use the higher quality bread. If you've already saved lower quality bread, you're allowed to go back to save higher quality bread. Umatzilim Yom HaKippurim L'Shabbos, if Friday is Yom HaKippurim and the fire breaks out on Yom Kippur, you're allowed to save food on Yom Kippur so that you could have it for Shabbos. Avlo Mishabbos Yom HaKippurim, but if Yom Kippur is on Sunday, you're not allowed to save food on Shabbos. If you have enough Shabbos food, you're not allowed to save food on Shabbos from the burning building so that you'll have what to break your fast on after Yom Kippur. That you're not allowed to do. Vein Tzarech Lo Mishabbos Yom Tov, certainly from Shabbos to Yom Tov, you're not allowed to save. Avlo Mishabbos to Shabbos Abba, nor from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos. If you forgot bread in the oven and then Shabbos came, you're allowed to save. You're allowed to take out 3 meals worth of bread. And you can tell other people to come and take for themselves. But when you take the bread off of the oven, which is an iser, don't do it in the normal way. Use a knife to scrape it off. So but isn't Radias Hapas not a malacha? So why should you have to use a knife? Why should you have to do it in an unusual way? It's a chachma, it's ain't a malacha. And so Gemara, kamadav shel shinui mishaninan. As much as you're able to be mishan, as much as you're able to do something with a shinui, because it is an issa d'rabbanan after all, so we do recommend that you do it with a shinui, that you use a knife instead of doing it in the normal way. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll discuss lecha mishnah, shalashuddas. We'll get to all those labor topics at the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin in the days. All right.